Hello, everybody, and welcome to another beautiful Thursday morning. You're listening to Bhavani on IE Green on the Progressive Radio Network. And I'm really happy to be here with you on this beautifully snowy Thursday morning here in New York. And I have a great show today. My guest will be Rob Mansfield from Grassroots Naturally, and he has been a longtime community member, and I've watched his business grow from a small little bake shop into this beautiful natural foods eatery. And I'm excited to have him on and tell us more about what he's doing. But before I do, I want to just talk about some of the things going on in and around the city, in the news, and et cetera. Of course, in the news, it's been everywhere, is about this issue with vaccinations. I'm sure everybody out there has been part of the conversation as to whether or not people should have to vaccinate their children or not. And it is such a question. It's amazing that so many of these really difficult questions are as relevant today as they were 30-something years ago when I was making those decisions for my children. And, you know, it amazes me when we're still talking about abortion. I mean, so many of these things having to do with health of ourselves and health of our children, we have to allow the individual, my belief, is the individual to make a decision. When you have the perspective of age and you can look back and reflect back on the time of your life, you can see so many recommendations that had been made on the part of science and society. And then you look back and they're wrong. And they made a mistake. And they led us down the wrong path. And so we all need to remain individuals and have that ability to make the individual choice. That is my belief. I think our government has led agriculture down the wrong path when they started with the genetically modified foods and the whole monoculture of farming. The intention, I believe, is good. When people set it out, they're not setting it out to take us down the wrong path. But when you then look back and you see how industrial agriculture has not yielded the increased quantities of food that they promised. It has not reduced the amount of pesticides necessary, and instead it has helped to create a situation where we have super weeds and super pests and need more additives to the soil and more pesticides if you want to keep going down that way. However, there's people who are thinking for themselves who've taken a look at that system and said, hey, that's not working. Let's go back to the land, back to sustainability, back to mimicking nature and supporting nature so that it can revive itself, and that's what works. So when we go to the vaccination issue, I was really surprised when I started looking into this whole measles thing, and I found information on the CDC's website, the Center for Disease Control, and they talked about how many people died from measles back in the 1920s and then how many died from measles back in 1962 when before the measles vaccination was released. And it went from like 7,000, here I have it written down here, it went from 7,000 people to 300 people, something like that. It was a huge, huge change. And yet, the vaccination has taken all the credit for it. The vaccination came out in 1963, and everybody thinks it's the vaccination that eradicated measles when measles were already on the decline and already going in that direction. And then how many people in 2005 actually died from the measles vaccination? I think they said it was like 108. So, you know, vaccinations do have consequences. They are not benign. They do have risks associated with them. And the other thing that you have to realize is that there's no possible way for pharmaceutical companies to test every combination of vaccinations. When my kids were younger, you know, they got like, they were recommending 5 vaccinations, I think it was, maybe 6. Now I think kids are up to like 20 vaccinations. How can they possibly test all the different combinations of all the different vaccinations? They can't. So as an educated parent, you might want to do some vaccinations, but not others. And you need to be able to research it, educate yourself, and make a decision. I remember when my kids were going off to college, and they had just come out with the meningitis vaccination. And I looked into it, and I talked to our pediatrician at the time, and he gave me all the stats. And when you looked at it, if you really thought about how many kids got the meningitis, how many people actually got really sick from it or even unfortunately died from it, it was such a minuscule amount compared to the mentality of vaccinating a whole population of kids without really knowing long-term results. And when I say long-term, yeah, in 5 years, nothing might happen. But who knows what happens 20 years down the road? You know, the vaccination that they're giving for genital warts, you know, that vaccination they're trying to give to young girls before they even become sexually active. And then, you know, they say 5 years out, nothing happens. But what happens, you know, 10 years, 20 years out when these young girls want to get pregnant? Do we know that that's okay? Do we know that the children of those babies are of those kids are okay? We don't know that yet. And so we need to all think about it and make educated choices. So it's not a blanket thing. It's not like, oh, we just have to vaccinate everybody and everyone will be safe. There's actually studies that are done that when you vaccinate your child, especially with like the measles, it's a live vaccine, and somebody can actually get measles from the vaccination. Someone can transmit measles if they got vaccinated to someone who is unvaccinated. So it's not a black and white situation. So everyone really needs to do the work, needs to read up on it, and needs to make a decision. And you also have to remember that most of the studies are funded by the pharmaceutical companies, just like most of the studies for GMOs are done by the biotech companies, by the Monsantos and the DuPonts. So, you know, how much can you trust them? You know, they own the research. So if they own the research and they can choose which research gets publicized, you have to realize that we're not getting the full story. So when these independent researchers do something and they come out saying that GMOs are bad, you know, then they retract the paper because of all the pressure. You know, I remember the French scientist who came out saying GMOs were bad, and then they retracted his paper, and, you know, 5 years later they allow it again because they realize that he wasn't really wrong. But meanwhile, they, you know, ruin his career and put all this money into it, and Monsanto's behind it, and it's just a bad situation. So you have to know that the people that are out to make the money are not the ones that you want to trust in the research. And unfortunately, that's where most of the research comes from. So it's really hard. And I acknowledge it's hard. And I have to really just allow the space for everybody to make their own individual decision on this. But a parent should have the right to make that decision for their child based on their research, their belief system, and what feels right in their gut. But to just follow the medical advice down that road when, you know, years ago, medical people told us stay away from coconut oil, and now coconut oil is great. They said, you know, stay away from butter. Well, butter, and eat margarine. Well, we then found out margarine's bad. So you just have to know that what they say today is not necessarily going to be correct information 10 years down the road. So you need to stay balanced, stay well-informed, and listen to your heart and listen to your gut, and don't let other people's pressure sway you. So that's my little thing on that, and it'll be interesting to watch how this all develops in the news. Another thing I want to share with you is next weekend, February 13th and 14th, is International Global Divestment Day, and this is really exciting because this global divestment movement is really growing. And the idea here is to, just like we did in South Africa with apartheid, as we divested from South Africa, businesses and corporations stopped putting money into South Africa, and that's when we were able to change the politics there. Well, we're hoping to do the same thing here when it comes to fossil fuels. If we all divest from fossil fuels and we encourage our universities and colleges and corporations to do the same, they will feel it in their pockets. And at that point, they will start investing more money in renewable energies. And, you know, I had another article in my newsletter this week talking about biofuels and the amount of land that's used to grow corn, to make ethanol for biofuels. It's stupid. It's just blatantly stupid. We could be growing vegetables to be feeding the 9 billion people that we're going to be having on this planet instead of growing biofuels and growing feed for animals. We need to just turn this whole system around and invest in renewable energies, wind farms, solar. There's so many incentives taking place right now that putting solar panels on your home has never been less expensive, and it's really, you know, no longer the 7-year wait period to recoup your money. It's much quicker than that. And it makes a lot of sense for us all to do that. And I was at Slow Food New York City, had a food almanac this past week, and I went to it in the city, and it was great just talking about Gwen Chance is there from Brooklyn Grange, and she was just talking about green roofs, and, you know, I was just fantasizing with her. Can you imagine if every new building going up in the city required a green roof to deal with some of the rainwater and water systems and cooling systems, and if the windows had photovoltaics in it so they absorbed energy, and there were solar panels, and there's so much innovation we could be doing, and it's happening in parts of Europe, and we're just not catching on fast enough, and we need to put the pressure on our government officials and our local representatives to create incentives and create rules to steer us in the direction we need to go. But growing corn for biofuels just does not make sense, and we really need to help turn that around. Okay, I still want to share a recipe with you and tell you some things going on around it. You know, it's sometimes in the winter you have these real lulls where there's not a lot going on, but right now there's so much. I have 3 pages here of events going on, and I'm not going to share them all because it just will take too much time. But you can go to my website at ieatgreen.com and see all of them. But I'm just going to point out a few. This Friday, there's the Bitten Food Conference, which is going to take place at the Scholastic Auditorium in New York City. And it's just, it's a real think tank type of seminar. It's expensive, but there's some really great speakers that are going to be there. And food photographers, food designers, Eric Denby, the founder of Smorgasburg, is going to be there. Bill Yosis, the pastry chef from the White House, will be there. Some great people will be there. It's a bit costly at $200, but I think if you can swing it, it will be well worth it, and it's going to be a great time. This weekend, February 7th, is the Long Island Regional Seed Swap, which is really an exciting thing. That's at the Suffolk County, Suffolk Community College, Riverhead Campus, from 2 to 4, although there's going to be a lecture starting at 1:30. But saving our seeds and seed swapping is, you know, an old traditional art, and that's how people for generations and generations have been getting seed until these biotech companies got involved in the seed business. And if we want to keep the diversity in our food system, which we've lost so much of already, seed swapping is a really great way of doing that. So February 7th, come out to the Long Island Seed Swap. February 10th, Green Drinks New York City, which has these meetups all the time. They're having one that I wanted to mention to you on February 10th because it's being sponsored by Jane Goodall's Mobile Recycling Initiative. And at this at the Roger Smith Hotel at the Lily's Bar, they will be having recycling bins for any of those toxic chemicals, paints, batteries, light bulbs, all those things that you have stuffed in your home or apartment and you don't know where to get rid of. This is a great opportunity. Come on down, network with people, meet people, and drop off some of your recycling stuff. If you want to participate in the whole evening, it's $15, but I think you could just stop by and drop off recyclings as well, if that's all you wanted to do. But recycling all of the things that we need to recycle is really important. One of the things about the LED light bulbs is you can't just throw them out in the garbage. You need to recycle them. And that's really important. I know New York City is also moving ahead with their composting food waste, which is really great. I mean, when I went down to the Food Tank Summit and they were talking about food waste, it was just amazing all of the greenhouse gas emissions that come out of landfills. And if we can reduce that, we're really also going in the right direction. Also, February 17th, there is a discussion on race, racism, and food justice, advancing a more equitable food system in New York City, and that's at the CUNY Graduate Center. And it's free. It's just in the morning from 9 to 10:30, very manageable. If this is your area of interest and you want to hear some people talk about it, it should be a great morning. February 21st is Maple Sugaring Day out in Issaquahtet at Benner's Farm. That should be a great event. February 27th through March 1st, Food and Enterprise Summit is taking place at Industry City. And there's a whole schedule. You can just Google Food Plus Enterprise Summit, and you will find all of the scheduling there. Prices are depending on which things you sign up for. But it's, you know, many days of lots of great thinkers and food educators and chefs, et cetera. So really good. March 1st, Slow Food North Shore has just been invited to join the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship in Huntington for a screening of Food Chains, which is a film I actually have not seen yet but have been hearing great things about and really want to see, about the farm workers and the plight of farm workers in this country and, of course, that goes around the world. But anyway, talking about food chains and how the food goes from the farm and field to our table and, you know, some of the work that needs to be done there. So that's going to be taking place at the Cinema Arts Center, 1:30 in the afternoon on Sunday, March 1st. $10 members, $15 non-members, both for the Unitarian Church. You can be a member of the Unitarian Church, or the Cinema Arts Center, or Slow Food North Shore, and you count as a member. All others are 15. But it's going to be a great event, discussion afterwards. The director of the film will be there, and then we'll have a reception. March 7th is TEDx Manhattan, Changing the Way We Eat. If you're going, you're lucky you're one of the people that actually managed to get a ticket ahead of time. But if you did not get a ticket ahead of time and you want to come together with your community for a live screening of the event, those will be taking place all around the city, out on Long Island. We will be screening it with Slow Food North Shore at the Cinema Arts Center. It's all day from 9 to 5. Chipotle, who has partnered with Slow Food in the last year, they will be donating food and snacks throughout the screening. So come down to the Cinema Arts Center or go onto the TEDx Manhattan website and find a screening near you. And they will be going on across the country. So if you're not just in the New York area and you're outside of New York, check that out. TEDx Manhattan has great speakers. I know some of the speakers that are going to be there this year. It's going to be really great. A couple save the dates. March 15th, the Just Food Conference. It's only going to be one day this year up at Columbia University on March 15th. March 21st is the Crafts Beer Festival taking place at the Nassau Coliseum. March 29th, we are going to have our second annual film feast in five courses at the Cinema Arts Center. We are pulling together all of our documentaries now, and as last time, we will pair each documentary with a food course, and by the end of the night, you will have had a delicious five-course meal. So save the date for that, March 29th. We sold out last time, so you do want to get your tickets for that when they go on sale. And I will let you know when that happens. And the other save the date is April 25th for the Long Island Food Conference. For those of you that remember, we had the Long Island Small Farm Summit for 2 years in a row, on 2011 and 2012, and this one will be 2015. We've changed the name to the Long Island Food Conference to actually embody more of what the conference is. It's not just for farmers, it's for everybody who eats. Anybody who is interested in food, it's going to be a great all-day event at Hofstra University, so save that date, and you can check back at the website of the Long Island Food Conference for more information. Okay, so I want to share with you my recipe, which is short but sweet this week. It's a kid-friendly butternut squash soup. You know, in the winter, I love making soups, and I was asked to bring a soup to a nursery school, so my normal butternut squash soup that has some curry in it, I didn't think would be so great for them, so I just changed it up a little bit and made it more kid-friendly, and they all loved it, so, or most of them loved it. So I wanted to share that with you. One onion chopped, 3 carrots chopped, 1 butternut squash peeled, seeded, and cubed, 2 tablespoons coconut oil, 2 potatoes cubed, 3 tablespoons grated ginger, more if you would like, 1 teaspoon of salt, 1 can of coconut milk, 2 tablespoons maple syrup, that's optional. I just thought with the kids, just a little added sweetness. Of course, butternut squash is sweet on its own, along with the coconut milk, but that 2 tablespoons just made it so delicious that the kids couldn't stay away. 1/4 teaspoon cinnamon, 1/4 teaspoon nutmeg, 1/2 teaspoon thyme, and 4 to 6 cups of water. And just put all of that into, first I started by sauteing the onions, carrots, squash, potato, and ginger in the soup pot and cooked that down for about 10 minutes. Then I added the water, brought it to a boil, and let that heat up and simmer until everything got hot and soft, about 30 minutes. Then I added the salt, cinnamon, nutmeg, and thyme and let it cook a little bit more. Then I pureed it with an immersion blender, and by that point it was already kind of falling apart, so it blended up really fast. I added the maple syrup and the coconut milk, and I returned to the heat and let it simmer for about 10 more minutes, and that was it. Like I said, it almost comes together as quickly as I just said it. It's really simple to make, absolutely delicious. And soups are the type of thing that they're great afternoon snacks. Like a kid comes home from school today and, you know, a bowl of miso soup or a bowl of this butternut squash soup is just like the perfect afternoon snack. You know, I always tended to give my kids more savory things than sweet things. This butternut squash soup is kind of in the middle, so it's perfect. Okay. So, lots going on. It's my pleasure now, though, to introduce a good friend, colleague, Rob Mansfield, who is the founder of Grassroots Naturally. Prior to opening Grassroots Naturally, Rob worked as an advertising copywriter for both the retail and the entertainment business. And then he developed a line of coffee, ready-to-drink beverages that he sold to Planet Java, or actually with Planet Java, and then sold to Coca-Cola, and worked there spreading his drink around the country for a bunch of years before he decided it really was not calling out to him and it wasn't really fulfilling him. So he left and started Grassroots. And Grassroots started as a bake shop. It was a small little shop, and slowly they started adding more food and more food, and then recently he moved into a much larger space, dropped the bakery part of the name, and just became Grassroots Naturally, because as the business grew, he realized that the trend was more going towards the delicious, wholesome foods and the cleanses that he does than the baked stuff, although he still has some delicious baked items. That's not his focus. But I'm going to let Rob, I'm going to invite him on, let him tell us more about what he's doing. Rob, are you with me?
I am. Hi, Bhavani.
Hello, Rob. Welcome to my show.
Thank you. I'm starving, and I want to eat the soup.
Yes, that usually happens after sharing the recipe, but you can make it later. Make it for your shop. People will love it.
I think that's a good idea. I'm going to call it the Bhavani Special.
Okay. So why don't you share with us how you found your way first to you know, opening Grassroots? What was your inspiration?
Well, it was probably about 12, 13 years ago, I was, as you said, I was doing the Coca-Cola thing, and then I was in aromatherapy, and I've been like the Ralph Cramden of ideas, and I've done a lot of different things. And I by the sounds of it, I should be 130 at this point, but I'm not quite there. And I moved into this beautiful little town of Seacliff, and I was walking around one Halloween with a friend who was doing juices, and I was just traveling too much. I never saw my kids, my beautiful Lily Bennett and my amazing Amy, and I wasn't seeing them enough, and I was traveling, I was on a plane, I was in Atlanta all the time with Coca-Cola, and it was getting ridiculous. So I said, I need to do something that's closer so I could see them and spend time with them, and they were young, and, you know, I was fairly young at that point. And so we decided to open up this little juice bakery, cafe, prepared foods, little place in town. Of course, now the only time my family could see me is when they visit me because I work 12 days a week. And
yeah, I was going to say, I can't imagine working more than you work now. So
yeah. I was just traveling then, but
right.
Probably not eating right and drinking terribly and all that stuff. So at least I'm healthier now. I work
and working for one of those big, terrible companies that I always talk about.
Yes, 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 and I agree.
Uh-huh.
But it was a good platform.
Uh-huh.
So we opened up our little place. It's almost 11 years ago. And it was a charming, wonderful, little groovy spot where all my friends would come, and the demographics were all over the place. It was so much fun. I mean, people would come hang out and talk about politics and talk about their days and talk about school and why it's good and why it's bad. And it was fun. It was like Cheers without the booze.
Right, right.
So it was a lot of fun. And I just had these ideas of grandeur, and I never sit still, and I wanted more. And so we started juicing, and that was amazing. And we got introduced by one of my clients to this cleanse program. And it was just, you know, six juices a day. And I said, my God, I don't want to just drink juices all day, and I want food. And so we got involved with it, and then, you know, we kind of evolved, and we said, let's do our own. And my chef, who's been my chef since day one, is amazing, Michael, and he's unbelievable, and his team is incredible. And, you know, together we all kind of created this program, which was not just juicing, but juicing and foods and basically like a food delivery service where you could pick up or be delivered to. And now over 4,000 people have done our cleanse. And we call it a cleanse, but it's really like a cleanse of old bad habits. So we developed that, and that's
so is the cleanse just juices, or are you combining food?
Oh, no. It's foods, it's juices, it's actually, you start, I'll take you through it because I'm really proud of it and thrilled about it.
Great.
Start your day with lemon water, which I'm sure you agree, and every nutritionist will tell you the first thing in your body should be lemon water. There's so many reasons for it. We've worked with DOs, we've worked with nutritionists, but just go online and see why lemon water is the first thing that should be in your body. My wife drinks it warm. I drink it, you know, room temperature.
That was going to be my next question. Do you recommend it hot or cold?
Most tell you warm. I like it room temperature. I like things cold, but that's, mm-hmm. you know, just have it. You know, look, there's a lot of different things out there, and there's a lot of people that say, oh, if you don't have it this way, it's not going to work. My feeling is if you can have it, have it.
Right.
If it's in the
well, that's
middle
kind of like
of
what I was saying with even the vaccinations. I mean, everyone has to personalize everything.
Right.
You know, we're not one size fits all, and no one should try to put everybody into one box. People really have to find what works for them.
I completely agree. Bhavani, it used to be a time when I was growing up that the doctor was gospel, and whatever he said was the truth. But now with the world of internet and the world of knowledge, we have to make our own decisions, what works for us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what works for me may not work for you. There are inherent things, but my joke of the day is I question seatbelts now. I don't really question seatbelts, but, you know, every
mandatory
single day,
anything, right.
Right. I mean, at the end of the day, every day, they're going to tell you, why this thing is going to cause cancer and why you can't do this and why you're going to die from this. And, you know, come on, man, live.
Right.
Just live.
And, right. Well, I talked about, you know, I had a client who, you know, I couldn't, you know, she had cancer and she had done chemo. And, you know, from my experience, it's like, you know, you should eat some miso soup. You know, all the radiation, miso absorbs that. That's really great for you. And she said, oh, no, my doctor said I can't have soy. So I'm like, oh, are you kidding me?
That's a big thing, you know.
What's
there's
that?
No soy, there's soy. There's no soy, there's soy. There's
right, but and yet did the doctor
wild and there's
right, but did that doctor say don't have sugar? I mean, every doctor should know that sugar feeds cancer. But no, he didn't say that. So here she is. Here she is eating a Dunkin' Donuts donut, but can't have miso soup. I'm like, hello. You know, it's
horrible.
It's just crazy.
You know, listen to a lot and then do your research and then make your own decision.
Yeah.
So lemon water and then the wheatgrass. And, you know, this is what started me on when we moved to Seacliff. A friend of ours was delivering wheatgrass to everyone's home, and my wife, Amy, said, you're doing wheatgrass. You're traveling too much. You're not eating. I'm like, I am not drinking that. It's disgusting. And now, 14 years later, I don't miss a day. And I'll tell you, I'm knocking wood right now. I don't get sick. And I'll tell you something. It may be in my head, but that's good.
Right.
I'll take it.
Right.
I'll take it.
Right.
So I definitely think wheatgrass is great. Perfect Foods is our
1 ounce,
distributor.
2 ounce. What do you do?
I do 1 ounce. I mean, I have people that do 3-4 ounces a day. More power to you, man. If that's what you want
to
do.
You have to work up to that. You can't start with that.
You know what? I've been doing it 14 years. I do one shot. I do 1 ounce. And,
right.
You know, I swish it around my gums. They say that it kills bacteria in your gums. My hygienist definitely says that I'm doing better. I haven't changed anything except that. So that's it. And then we give you a piece of fruit, usually an apple, an orange, an apple, something like that. And we give you our green drink, which is lots of different greens with some apple and a little cayenne to kind of get your juices flowing.
Mm-hmm. And are your drinks all organic?
They are not. They are somewhat organic. We use organics when we can. Everything we do is natural. When we opened Bhavani, everything was organic. And I wanted it to be organic, and it was great. But the fact of the matter is people didn't want to pay for the prices of organic, and they didn't care that much. As long as everything was clean, everything was natural, you know, we use organics where we can and when we can. But I can't say that everything's organic.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Again, you make your choices.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that is the morning of the program, and that doesn't change any day. Now, remember, this program is the way it is, and then we talk to you. You know, I get a woman will come in, and she's 4'11" and weighs 12 pounds, and she's doing the program, and that's great. And she says, and my husband's going to do it too. So I start to ask a little bit. You know, he's 6'6" and weighs 280 pounds. He probably needs a little bit more than his 4'11" wife.
Right.
You know, and that's what we do. When we change things around, and some people need to eat in the morning. They need to chew in the morning. So we talk about that. As I said, I've had over 4,000 people on this. So I talk to you and I tell you, well, what about this? What if you change it this? What if you do your granola snack in the morning and put a little nut milk in it? And, maybe that'll be your breakfast and that works.
Mm-hmm.
So then after that, the day changes every day. So you get a lunch, and the lunch could be maybe it's a beautiful baby spinach salad with nuts and berries or a vegan soup. Everything's vegan, by the way, on this program.
Mm-hmm.
So it gives people a chance to try vegan. You know, they don't realize, a lot of people don't realize that you can get all your nutrients being vegan. You don't necessarily need to eat a piece of meat.
Right.
Or a piece of fish. I don't. But, you know, and if that doesn't work for you, then we alter it. So the salad or the soup or some kind of lunch, and then you get your juice number two, which is some sort of concoction of vegetable and fruit. It could be a red Roxy, which is carrot, apple, beet, ginger, lemon, or spiked lemonade, which is everything without the beets. Or it could be jicama, pineapple, lime. You know, we kind of change it up every day to give it some fun.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get your honey and hemp granola mix, which some call crack. I think it's at 4 o'clock. You really want something sweet and delicious. and you chew it and you eat it. And as I said, you could graze on it all day long. You could have it in the morning. You could have it at night. You could warm it up. You could have it cold, however you see fit.
Uh-huh.
And then you move on to dinner. And by the way, I encourage lots and lots and lots of water. I give you your first bottle, but I email everyone. I give them the menus, and then I talk to everyone all day long when they're calling me and saying, could I have some hot chocolate? Well, no, but if you really want it, do what you want. But,
right.
So water, 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 water all day long, and then the evening. And that's some sort of delicious vegan creation that our kitchen takes up. It could be a stuffed pepper with a quinoa salad and a side of edamame hummus or something like that. It could be heated up. It could be cold, whatever you feel suits you.
Mm-hmm.
And when we encourage you to sit down. Don't stand up and eat while you're serving the kids dinner. Put it on a plate, right. Sit down, enjoy your dinner. Eat
right.
slow.
Right.
And then you
eat
get your final drink of the day. Exactly. Chew, 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 chew.
Uh-huh.
If you're constantly spinning it down, you're not even going to enjoy it. And you should be enjoying it. Food is lovely. It's something that we do. It's a program. I love to eat, and I love to just, sit and relax and eat and talk. And then you get your nut milk drink, which could be a cashew milk with a little cinnamon in it, or a seed milk or an almond milk. We change that off daily as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
and you
the
make
program.
Those yourself.
We do. We make it all ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And it's between 1,000 and 1,400 calories approximately. And we change it off daily. So
wow.
That is our cleanse program, and that's doing wonderfully. We do corporate cleanses. It's wonderful when companies will get together and the HR department pulls it together, and maybe they'll pay for it for the company, or maybe everyone will do it together. And we don't call it the biggest loser. We call it the biggest winner. And yes, everyone wants to lose weight, I suppose, but that's not what the objective here is. The objective
mm-hmm.
here is to be healthy.
Right.
So we'll get, 25, 50 people in a company doing it together, and it's fun. It's great. And, they mix and match, and they go, oh, my God, I'm starving. Oh, no, I'm not feeling anything. It's great. You feel incredible energy. It's wonderful. And the idea is people do this. I have people doing it every week for the last 4 years because it's a food program, and you don't have to think about it, and it's delicious, and it's all nutritious.
Well, they'll do it every week for 4 years, like one day a week?
I have people doing it 3 days a week, every week.
Uh-huh.
So they'll do it like a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then just kind of play on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and then go back on the wagon or off the wagon,
mm-hmm.
however you want to see it.
And is there one set price, or is it different depending on, I'm sure there's a different corporate rate than if an individual comes in?
There is. Basically, the price is $165 for 3 days plus tax, and that works out to $55 per day.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's everything you need to eat and drink for the day. So it's really not a bad price. If you do 5 days, it works out to $50 per day. It's $250. And if you're doing just single days, it's $60 per day.
Mm-hmm.
And then
yeah.
It's bus delivery, or you can pick it up at our shops.
Uh-huh. Cool. That sounds
yeah.
really great.
It's really fun. You should try it.
Well, I do that sometimes, but I make it myself.
I know.
But know what? It would be nice to come see you more.
I would love that. I would love that.
So
that's our cleanse. And then we just started building the store and building the brand identity and our philosophy, which basically is balance.
Mm-hmm.
We made a little saying, which is a little embarrassing, but it's Rob. It's rejuvenate our bodies. I don't know where we came up with that, but it's... So my kids really love when I say Rob, 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 and then I made them wear the T-shirts. But it's a little embarrassing, but we do it. But our life is about balance, Ronnie. It's eat what you want when you want it. Drink what you want when you want it. All in moderation. Keep control. Don't let it control you. It's portion control. Enjoy yourself. Life should be delicious.
Absolutely. I'm with you on that. I was really... so happy to see when I went to visit this place that opened near us. Actually, it's probably opened a few years already, but I first went to check out SoulCycle. They had a little eatery across the way, and I saw Grassroots Naturally in there.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, this is my friend. And I'm so happy to see that. So tell me about
that.
When did you start expanding into selling items to other places?
Well, Bhavani, it wasn't becoming enough. I mean, we have a little town here, and although our reach is pretty far, we're out to Melville and Stony Brook, people have, and Brooklyn and Manhattan. There was just so much we can touch this way. And I had this vision of wholesale, of really getting it out into the marketplace. And, you know, one of the places I thought of was Fairway, because I love Fairway and Grace's Market, which when I lived in the city, those are the two places I used to shop in. So that was my target. And I am happy to say we're there. We developed 9 products, and we chose 9 of our, like, you know, what I think of some of our best products. We have 5 juices. Our green drink, which we just talked about, and 2 of our number 2s, and we name them number 1, number 2, number 3. So have them in the morning or anytime, have them in the afternoon or anytime, and have them in the evening again or anytime. And the thought was, you know, greens, not so much sweet in the morning, and then, you know, some more sugars like the fruits in the afternoon, and then the protein any time of the day. So we have our greens, we have our Red Roxy, we have our spiked lemonade, and we have our nut milk. And then we did a drink called the Elixir, which is fresh orange, lemon, lots and lots of ginger, a little agave to cut the bitterness, and that could be served hot or cold, and that's amazing. So those are our juices. And then we have 3 bars, 2 raw, 1 baked. The 2 raw are 100% organic, and they're raw. And so they're not cooked, obviously. They're a protein bar. I did these because my son was eating, and if my son is listening, he's cracking up right now. He was eating all these bars out there. He was going to the gym a lot, and they were gross. They were just terrible. I said, we have to make something that's better. And we did. I had this friend, Shelly, who you might know, Shelly, who came in and helped us develop these incredible bars. So one of them, the protein bar, is we use this great organic protein powder, which is plant-based, no soy for those that think soy will kill you. And it's just an incredible protein, and it's made with peanut butter. So we just use organic peanut butter and chia seeds and some nuts and berries, and it's awesome. Then we do this energy bar, and we thought, well, I was in the coffee business, as you talked about. Let's put some coffee in. So we did some organic fair trade coffee, and we literally grind the coffee. So some of it's chunky, so you get that chew, and some of it's fine, so you get that taste, and it's made with dates, and cacao and fresh unsweetened coconut. So that's a really fun, wonderful bar. And then our breakfast bar is a baked oats bar. So that's not gluten-free. The other two are gluten-free.
So which ones are raw? Which two are raw? The protein
and the protein.
I'm sorry, the protein and which one?
The energy bar.
Okay.
And the breakfast bar is baked, and that's with oats and cranberries and nuts. And it tastes, if I had to tell you what it tastes like, it tastes like a really healthy, wonderful banana bread. Because it's banana puree in it as well. And then one of my favorite things that we did is a granola. We call it granola squared. And it's not a typical granola. It's instead of oats, we use quinoa flakes. And so it's also gluten-free. And it's filled with protein because of the quinoa, and it's just incredible. It's flying off the shelves. It's vegan, and it's not high in calories, and we use coconut oil and coconut sugars. It's just absolutely delicious.
Cool, and you said those bars are all organic, right?
Pardon?
Those bars you said are organic?
The 2 raw bars are organic. The other is partially organic, but I think it needs to be 70% to call it organic, so we don't.
Right. Rob, let's take a couple-minute break, and when we come back, I want to also talk about how you've expanded into hospitals, because that's a place that we know traditionally has not served any good food. So
absolutely. Perfect.
So everyone listening, don't go anywhere. I'm talking with Rob Manfield from Grassroots Naturally. Be right back. Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You're listening to Bhavani and I Eat Green on the Progressive Radio Network. And my guest today is Rob Mansfield from Grassroots Naturally, and we're talking about his cleanse and his wholesale energy bars that he's selling, and now we're about to talk about his expansion into some hospitals. Hi, Rob.
Hi, Bhavani.
So,
great to be here.
I was so happy to hear that North Shore LIJ Hospital had contacted you. This is already going back a few years to expand into their facility. Can you tell us about that?
I can. It's really actually pretty exciting. We've been in there, I guess it's about 5-6 years now.
Oh, it's that many. Okay.
It is, but it's been under the radar, so that's probably why we haven't talked about it a lot. We went into a building in North Shore in Manhasset called the Feinstein Building for Research and Development. And it's right adjacent to the main building, right on Community Drive. And the idea there, first of all, these people, they're saving the world. And the fact that I can be, that we at Grassroots could be any part of that is so amazing to me. You know, I've always felt that you have to do something that mm-hmm. speaks to you and feels good. This absolutely feels good. Of course, we're just feeding them, but they're really saving the world. They're thinking of, they're doing projects that are tackling all of the medical problems that we're all having all over the world. Mm-hmm. So I think the concept of the president of the building was to have the PhDs and the MDs have a place to actually congregate rather than just the labs. And that was the cafe. And so we created this little cafe in this building that houses about 400 or 500 people. So they had a place to talk and maybe come up with plans to, again, save the world. And so mm-hmm. that's what we've done. And yes, you know, a hospital has not been known for their nutritional factors, foods and drinks.
An understatement.
So we've been very proud to be able to bring in juices and wheatgrass and foods. And, you know, it was a little rough in the beginning because they were surprised that I wouldn't serve Diet Coke and diet sodas and things like that. But it's been working. I mean, we're doing iced teas and we're doing wonderful drinks and juices and foods. And we're bringing in our foods daily, and we do a lot of catering for the entire system. And there's 15 hospitals or so in the system. So we've been doing a lot for this whole system, and they're loving it. I'm loving it. We're loving it. I'm thrilled for the community, and it's working.
Has the Grassroots philosophy filtered down at all into the hospital food that they're feeding the patients?
I can't say that. I can't mm-hmm. say that. But I can say that I know that when we do catering outside of our building, and even within our building, a lot of outside comes in to have their meetings, I'm hearing wonderful things. And we're sought after by the president of the entire hospital system. We do a lot of work for them. And it's definitely working. I've been speaking to a lot of the nutritionists, throughout the system, and we're making headway. We're making headway. Mm-hmm. It's a slow, first of all, it's a huge shift. It's a huge, tremendous shift with so many people and so many factors that if we could just go inch by inch, I think that we're making some headway. So mm-hmm. I don't know if it's changing the food per se in the whole system, but you know, inch by inch, we win the race.
Yeah, because traditionally, hospital food has got to be some of the worst food, institutional food I've ever seen. And, you know, the cafeteria where the employees eat can be a little bit better than the food they're serving to the patients. You know, they usually at least have a salad bar in there. But, you know, it always cracks me up when they have salad bars and then they have, you know, Kraft salad dressing. You know, with mayonnaise
yeah.
and disgusting stuff, and
you know, I can't speak about what they're serving. I could just speak of
yeah.
what I'm serving, and
which is
you
good.
Know, I try to provide as much goodness as possible. And, you know, I hear it. Our manager there, Lynette, is doing an amazing job, and we're touching a lot more of the system. I mean, I see people coming over from the executives across the street and, you know, the main building. You know, why can't you be here? Why can't you be here? Well, maybe one day I can.
From the system or anyone from outside, for that matter, can they come into the cafe at the Feinstein Building?
Anyone
or is it only for people working there?
Anyone from the system can come in.
But you have to be from the system.
Well, it's a closed building. So it's basically from the system, yes.
Mm-hmm. So tell us about your new space. I know you started in this small, quaint little Cheers type of cafe, and you've now expanded.
Can you share with us
your expansion and what that's looking like and how that's changed? Because one thing we haven't touched on is how your cafe really has become a community center. I mean, we did touch on it, but, you know, a little bit more of, you know, how you were there for everybody during Hurricane Sandy and, you know, how you really impact and give back to your community.
Well, thank you. You know, as I said, it's really important that we have to feel good about what we're doing. And it started out as a community little store, and now we have the storefront is about 1,600 square feet. And thankfully, I have parking in the back and parking in the front and incredible landlords. And so the community, I'm so thankful to the community because they really embraced what we do and us. And it's become a little community center. I have people sitting and playing the guitar all day or having their book meetings or having business meetings or just lunch and breakfast and dinner. We have book signings. We have lots of different things going on. And then we developed a kitchen, an off-site kitchen, which is in Glen Cove, which is tremendous. I could basically feed the world. We have a 6,200-foot space. So we're able to really, it's a commissary kitchen that we do everything out of. So we're able to do a lot more now. So we're a lot more cleanses, a lot more for the hospital, Feinstein Building, a lot more for the store, and all of our wholesale comes out of there. As far as what you said for Sandy, thankfully, we did not lose power in our little space there. So we became this hub, this where you could plug in, where if you needed ice, where if you needed hot coffee, where if you just needed to sit down in warmth and listen to some music and eat.
Plug in your phone. That was
and
always...
plug in your phone. I mean, we had
right.
so many wires. Honestly, that really was amazing. So then we took that whole concept and, you know, one of my loves growing up was Long Beach, and they were hurting so badly. So we got together with the Civic Association, the Latino Civic Association in Long Beach, and we basically adopted families. So we did family for family, and we must have helped over 100 families. And we just, our community is amazing. They just pour it out. No lights, no electricity, no nothing. And yet they were going out to stores and buying stuff for these families the shark cleaner was like the biggest thing I remember because they needed to kill everything that was happening on their floors and everything. So it was just amazing.
Uh-huh.
And so we brought it out there and we just helped people. And again, our community is amazing and I feel so thankful.
Well, Rob, what you're doing for your community and for, you know, for people in general, just spreading not just the healthy food, but the love that goes along with it, because I know what goes into your food is so important. And you're really, you know, filling a need that is so necessary. And on behalf of your community, I want to thank you because you're doing a great job.
Well, it's all out of love. And you know, it's certainly a business, and I'm thrilled about the business, but, you know, our staff is incredible. I have to say, you know, our staff is the reason, you know, we exist. They're amazing. It's a family.
That's great. So tell people where you are, because we're just about out of time. So before we go off the air, tell everyone where you are and how they can get in touch with you or sign up for your cleanses, that kind of thing.
Awesome. Okay. We're in Glenhead. Thank you, by the way. We're in Glenhead, and the address is 671 Glen Cove Avenue in Glenhead. The telephone there is 516-671-1616, or you can visit us at the Feinstein if you'd like, and that's a 350 Community Drive. If you'd like to sign up for our cleanse, you can give us a call, come into the store, or go on our website, which is grassrootsme.com. And the idea behind that is, what are you going to do to me? You're going to grassroots me. Or you can email me at rob@grassrootsme.com. That's GRASSROOTSME.com.
Great.
And, Bhavani, I love what you do, and thank you so, so much for having us on this.
You're so welcome. And everybody out there...